You are now listening to Justice Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Justice Lit. We are back with another episode of some poetry today. My cold has gotten a little better, but it's still kind of bugging me at the moment, and so I will be kind of stopping here and then in the middle of just talking. Because I am coughing a little bit. I don't know why. It's a little longer than I expected, but a lot of the people that I know at the moment and in the past couple of weeks have been very, very sick, and so I guess it's just that time of the year. But we are almost finished up our semester, and so I hope everyone is grinding through with what they have left. I personally have a lot of stuff due that are coming up, and so it's just kind of piling up all at once. But you know, we all get through this, and we all will get through this, and so keep your heads up. Today we will just do the usual. We have been going through the poetry collection of Kenneth O'Dea called O'Dea's Prayer, and last episode we left off at number 9, and so we'll be starting with a new poem today called Gratitude. But before that, I'll play you guys another song. I have 3 songs for today, so I'll just play you the first song after the ads, show poems, and PSAs. And so we'll be right back after this. Here we go.
Attention, all artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, proles, punks, and weirdos. Are you screaming for your voice to be heard? Do you resist capitalism and colonialism? Are you angry about the current political climate and ready to act up about it? Well, we want you here. The 2nd annual Anarchist Book Fair is now looking for creatives, creators, activists, and organizations who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. Email sponsorship at citr.ca before March 27th. Sponsorship at citr.ca. SPONSORSHIP at citr.ca.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bethy Creston Presents Radio Show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Bethy Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
Throughout the history of music, the most happiest chords have been in constant church by composers and musicians. Music reflects the emotions of human beings, and the pursuit for well-being is seen also in the arts of music. With today's modern technology, it's easy to separate different frequencies, which causes the feelings of happiness or the feelings of sorrow.
Fridays from 2 to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bethy Creston Presents Radio Show.
It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format.
Difficult music,
harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut up collage, and general Crespin weirdness.
Beppe Crespin presents Fridays at 2 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9.
Streaming at player.citr.ca.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue.
We Outside presents Lost in Paradise, featuring Sam Wallace performing at the Cobalt Cabaret on March 14th at 6 p.m. Head to showpass.com and look up We Outside to grab your tickets today.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
You hear ego flying off from a distance, and as they come closer, you can hear him let out a squeal, and then dive down to the water, pick up the fish, and go across, sort of bounce across, and then fly off. And as they fly off, you can hear the loon crying behind.
Tea, come in.
Welcome back. Those were some ads, show promos, and PSAs, and you just finished listening to Tawada Lake by Jerry Alfred, and The Medicine Beat. Has a very peaceful tone to the song, felt like it was a good start to the morning. Now we're going to get back right into the readings of OD's Prayer. We left off last episode with number 9, and so we will start with the poem Gratitude. I exposed myself, yet I was protected. I hated my neighbors, yet I was loved. I was lying, yet the truth was given to me. I lived in anger and violence, still I found peace. I was selfish, yet generosity was gifted to me. I was clothed in revenge, but yet forgiveness clouded me. I was a womanizer, yet a virgin found me. I was evil, yet righteousness hugged me. I was dead, yet my soul was resurrected. I was drunk, yet I never lost myself. I was drowning in hatred, yet his wings lifted me up. I was blind, yet I saw the light. I was a prisoner, yet Christ Jesus redeemed me. As the clock ticks, my praise incessantly progresses in him. Now, the word gratitude here, the title of the poem, might, in a sense, get you guys, get the readers to wonder what sort of gratitude he is portraying here. And it seems to me that after reading the poem, the gratitude is for, of course, the Almighty Jesus Christ. And all of the things that he, with all capitalization, he also emphasizes the capitalization with his, where it's not just the first word, but all of the words in his is capitalized. Of course, Christ Jesus is capitalized in the second to last stanza. And I guess everything else other than that. It's also, in a sense, interesting to see here. When I write my own poems, or when I also read poems from other people, I sometimes tend to and usually come across poems that do not capitalize the I. I do know that it is pretty obvious to capitalize that, but there are a lot of poems where everything, every single word is not capitalized for a reason, and I also have poems where I do that as well. But if that was the case, then everything in this poem, Gratitude, everything here that is capitalized is either me, as in the self in the poem, and the divine Jesus Christ. And so, in a sense, you could see here the relationship of the self and the divine, where both of those entities are capitalized, and so we can get a grasp of the relationship and the, I guess, focus here between the gratitude given to Jesus Christ from its from the self here. I just thought about this right now. It seems a little interesting here, and so we could kind of say something about that. But it's basically the whole poem is offering gratitude and thankfulness to Jesus of the great things he does for us and for humanity and the world. And so an interesting but good poem here. Our next poem is called El Olam. Now, before I begin this, let me search this up, because I do not know what this means. El Olam might have some sort of meaning. It is a biblical meaning. And basically, El Olam, I'm not sure if I pronounced it right or wrong, but El Olam basically means the everlasting God. And quote-unquote, it means might, strength, and power, and it is often combined with other Hebrew words such as Olam, which means world, universe, and eternal, forever lasting time or space. Okay, so the poem in English translation is called The Everlasting God. So we'll give this one a read, El Olam. Open my eyes to see reality, let your soft lips speak, to make my ears attentive to the things I can't hear. Open my heart wide to feel the things that are emotionless. Open my mouth wide to speak the things that are unsaid. Lay with me in tenderness. Let's communicate in verbal silence. Let your voice be heard as I scream aloud hallelujah. Open my eyes to dreams. Let your slumber awaken me. Let my visions and confidence be built on guts and might. Stay with me in this empty house. Let your kisses become a home. Let your breast feed my ego. Let your warmth defend my shivers. Walk with me in steps of admiration. Let your shadow shade at me. Let your footprints be my guide. In eyes I find my light. Let your name be my fame, my precious darling. Let your breath be my name, and your smiles to clothe my sins. Sing in my ears, let your rhythm be my truth, and in hunger, let your nipples be my fruit. Romance me to Jupiter, for in journey I'll find life, and in your sweat I'll find the sweetness of a wife. Now, I like the interplay with a little bit of erotics here. I actually wrote a poem, I wrote a paper for my indigenous class last semester, and it dealt with poetics and the erotics. And I basically argued that Canadian woman, indigenous woman in particular, through poetics and through the erotic nature of poetics, portrays a sense of resistance and power in womanhood and in the indigenous cultural realm of womanhood. And so I really enjoyed the paper, and it was really fun to deal with different types and kinds of poetry from different people. And so that kind of just reminded me of that paper. But there's lots of mentionings of, you know, bodily erotics here. Again, this is my first time reading it, so I wasn't able to fully grasp the meaning, but it does seem, well, there's a mention of a woman here, and of course there's a mention of the divine as well, but it's interesting. It's an interplay with womanhood, finding a woman, and how the Jesus, or how God guides you along the way to find the one and only wife of your life. And so it is an interesting poem here. I like the subtle rhyme schemes. It's more of like a speech here, in a sense. But the everlasting God, how God is everlasting, and how God will guide you through your hardships to find your one and only partner. Cool poem. Excuse me. Our next one is called Generosity. Generosity in my hands, no blemish I find. The particles of life I recycled, remnants and leftovers I gather, piled up in my heart. To justify the sanity of my mind, to justify my conscience and religion, that I may not stand to watch pain weep, that I may not listen to hear the world murmur, what is mine is yours. What I can't render, I do not have. No regret will keep me awake late at night. No anger will greet sunrise. My heart will be as pure as a cocaine. I will be intoxicated by peace of mind. My shelter will be sunny. If ever it's rainy, it'll be to wash away my tragedies. My brother will smile. I also will smile. This is really good. I really like the line here where it says, the lines here, if ever it's rainy, it'll be to wash away my tragedies. And he also says, my shelter will be sunny. Isn't that interesting? Think about it. My shelter will be sunny. Usually you would incorporate the word sunny with the outside. But again, he says, my shelter. So my shelter is the place where you can take refuge in, or where you could kind of relax in. But that place will be sunny. And if it's ever rainy, I guess that implies if my shelter is rainy, it'll be only rainy to wash away my tragedies. That's very interesting. And I guess this all relates to the word generosity, where he says, no blemish I will find, the particles of life I recycled. The particles of life I recycled. Remnants and leftovers I gather, piled up in my heart. So there is something in his heart. Well, there's a lot of things in his heart at the moment. There's a lot of remnants and leftovers of, it could be anything, but I assume it's a lot of struggles, stress, just negative emotions, and everything that deals with negativity is just gathered in his heart. Yet, all of those particles of life inside his heart he has recycled, which is kind of said beforehand. And then, to justify the sanity of my mind, to justify my conscience and religion, that I may not stand to watch pain weep. What is mine is yours. Okay. And what I can't render, so what he cannot perceive, what he cannot conceive, he does not have. He will not be awake at night because of some sort of regret. I guess it's a sort of message here to be generous and to be happy through times of hardship. But again, there's many, many interpretations to this, and so I'm just giving you guys what I feel at the moment right now. But an interesting poem all in all. Our next one is called Love. I will go deeper. I will soar higher. I will travel yonder. I will search deeper. Beyond roads, across the sea, through the forest, through towns, villages, and cities. Borders, boundaries, and nearby, the one thing that binds the world. I will find love to make the world a better place. This is just a heartwarming poem here. Nothing really much to say at the moment. But the mentioning of trees kind of sparked a thought in my head. I am taking this course, English 332, with Dr. Miranda Burgess. It's relating to media theory, and just, we deal with a lot of ecology as well. And we recently went into the forest nearby the Rose Garden at UBC. And we just kind of went around and had a tour around the forest here. And we had a lot of discussions about, you know, the effects of trees and nature with the world and how they influence different kinds of things, including politics, including literature and everything. And I didn't realize how important trees and just the whole scene of greenery was in literature, and how they influence the minds of humans. You know, I can't really go into depth because I myself don't really know too much about it, but it was really interesting to see the interplay and relationship that trees have with the world, and how trees, you know, in reality are slowly diminishing because of human resources and just natural disasters. But it was that kind of sparked up my mind with that. It was kind of cool to see all of that with the mentioning of through the forest, towns, villages, and cities here. Now, we will get into another song that I chose before we get into more readings. It is called Dream Catcher by Morgan Tony. I played his songs once last episode without any lyrics, but this one does have lyrics, and so we'll give this one a listen. Here we go.
My eyes, my weary eyes, visions dancing long threads deep within my restless mind. Once I sailed upon the clouds, carried high on eagle wings, as air till I fell down, caught me with your feather streams. Dream catcher, always a thief in the night. Dream catcher, been chasing these dreams all night.
Welcome back. That was Morgan Tony's Dream Catcher. We'll get right into more some readings. Our next one is called Mother. In the harsh tone of life, mother's love is mild, her mind a fountain of library, her heart a warm bed of comfort, her womb inventor of great men, her words lullabies of solace, her smile killer of pain, her strength a warrior's victory. In her care, the struggle of life becomes bearable. Her knowledge guides our path in every adventure. A priceless heart secreting tender love and care, her anger a peaceful strolling river. May her womb be blessed for many moons. May her glory reign through sunshine and nations. May her strength supersede 100 soldiers, for she is not just a mother, but a father too in all. A very heartwarming poem of the beautiful mothers throughout the world. Our next one is called Home. In this warmth house of solace, where shivers and fears diminish, where laughter echoes and turns, where each chapter love is found in capital letters, strength and foundation beneath the floor, heartwarming memories on the wall, roof sealed with hope, happiness in every still photo. Storm feels like rain, due to support and togetherness. Tender love and care blossoms. Peace envelopes the surroundings. A war room where battles are worn, a fun room where sorrows decay. May this little heaven on earth be constant, even till death. A home. I think the home here is seen as heaven. Hence the last two lines, may this little heaven on earth be constant even till death. Now, heaven and earth are seen as the same thing, I think. A warmth house of solace where shivers and fears diminish. I think he's talking about how the earth is an amazing place with beautiful, just a beautiful place. And there is a wishing that may this heaven on earth be constant even till death. May it flourish even beyond humanity is what I'm getting here. Storm feels like rain. It's a very positive poem, and it talks about home being a place of positivity and a place of pure happiness. And so I think that's what we get out of, what I get out of with this poem here. Our next poem is called O Thou Great Jehovah. In a chaotic atmosphere, grant me a humble peace. In my every dealing, let your hand stretch forth its goodness. From earthly struggle, set me free. In my strife, let my dreams be. Heal the wounds of my heart. Shape the thoughts of my mind. Grow kindness in me. Let my life be a garden of praises to you. In my every step, let my footprints be a landmark, a legacy that will transform and better humanity. Let your wisdom in me overflow. Let my lifestyle be a statue in life's museum. In memories, let me smile endlessly for a better life behind as my prayers ascends and my knees descend. Good poem here. Good poem. I guess just praising grace to the great Jehovah. Now, just to know, I don't know who Jehovah is. I mean, because I'm not really religious myself, and so I'm just going to search it up. Jehovah is, I'm sure, an important figure, but I'm not quite sure who Jehovah is. And so, who is Jehovah in the Bible? Jehovah, okay, he is considered, for those of you who don't know, who are on the same boat as I am, Jehovah is a vocalization of the Tetragrammaton, The proper name of the God of Israel in the Hebrew Bible Old Testament. And he is considered one of the seven names of God in Judaism and a form of God's name in Christianity. Huh, okay, that's cool. So he is a very important figure in the biblical corpus. And so, yeah, his name is mentioned many, many, many times. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so I guess he's praising Jehovah and his presence. Nice. Again, this book, this wasn't intentional, but I'm seeing that this poem is very Bible heavy. I'm enjoying it so far. I'm learning a lot also along the way, but I wasn't expecting it to be this religious heavy. But again, everything happens for a reason. I'm enjoying it so far, and it's really cool. It's really cool to see poems this invested with religion. I myself haven't really read many poems related to religion this much, and so it is a cool experience that I'm having at the moment. Our next one is called Psalm 107, verses 21-22. A very unique title for a poem. I'll give this one a read. Your existence is timeless, yet you took time to create. In orderliness amidst chaos, the earth and its creatures are real for the fact. As each species having an attribute of you, the singing birds clothed in your voice, the roaring lion expressing your mightiness, the waving oceans displaying how consistent your pattern is, the quiet dove exhibiting your peacefulness, the cloud pouring its rain like your blessings upon mankind. When you speak, oceans part ways for your presence to reign dominance, light of the world. As sunlight begs for shade to stare at you, mountains stand tall, emulating your strength. The blooming flowers, a testament to your beauty, rivers flow free like the wisdom from your hand. You're the painter, the masterpiece, and the art. You're the silence in the night, the calm in the storm. It is you, it is with you, the sun has a face, and the day its form. For in every living being, in every sight we see, we find a reflection of you in internal harmony. Beautiful poem, beautiful poem. I'm not sure, not quite sure why or how this relates to the title, but again, I assume that there's some sort of religious tie here. But even if you were to just take the religious side out of it, it's a beautiful poem, it's a very positive poem, and it's a poem really, really praising the self and emphasizing the importance of you and just how powerful you are as a human being in this world. Now, we're going to the next poem, which is called Selfishness. This will be interesting. I cannot pray for the world to be a better place. I can only pray for me, myself, to be a better person. I cannot pray for the world to be wise. I can only educate myself. I cannot treat the world of their pain. Only can I heal myself. I cannot protect the world from tribulations. I can only build my own faith. I cannot feed the world. I can only feed my stomach. I cannot spread the gospel. I can only preach to myself. I cannot cry because the world is crying. I can only laugh and laugh. I cannot please the world. I can only bring happiness to myself. I cannot fight for the world. I can only defend myself. I cannot pour out so much love. I can only exercise self-love. I cannot photograph the world. I can only take selfies. I cannot render help to the world, yet I can ask God to send a helper when I'm in trouble. How hypocritical! How delusional! Open my eyes, O thou heavens, that I may see the beauty of unity. My hands are glued. Open my heart to be generous. My emotions are cold. Open my understanding, that I may see me in every person I look at. Let myself love be transferable, for this is my humble prayer. This sounds like a self-rant here about the nature of selfishness and the reality of, in a sense, the reality of, I have this word in my mind, I just can't conjure it up right now, but it has to deal with the choices we are able to make and that we cannot make, and how that ties into the nature of selfishness, and how we take things for granted, how we desire things out of our control. And so it is a poem of reflection, I think. Now we will get into our last song of the day, called Main Street Jigs by Morgan Toney again. So we'll give this one a read and come right back again. We'll be right back. That was, you guys just finished listening to, hold on a second, I just got it mixed up. That was Main Street Jigs by Morgan Tony. I think we should finish off with Selfishness, because I do have an exciting announcement for you guys right before we end off the show. I have been selected. I think there was 6 selections in total. So myself and 5 others were selected to present in the UBC Undergraduate Shakespeare Conference. And so that is a very good thing that happened to me recently. I was selected to present one of my papers for the Shakespeare Conference. And just to let you guys know, it is going to be happening on March... excuse me, on March 25th, and from 4 to 6, but I believe I will be presenting at around 5:30-ish. And so I believe there are guests allowed. I will let you guys know next episode. But yeah, if you guys want to just come by and just kind of listen to what I present, it would be an amazing thing for you guys to do that. And so whoever is interested in Shakespeare, please come by March 25th at around 5:30, or if you want to see the whole thing, 4 to 6. Again, I'm not sure if guests are allowed, but I do think that they will accommodate for just people who want to see. But just to kind of give you guys a little rundown of what my paper was about. The title of my paper that I submitted was called The Unleashing of Cosmic Cannibalism, Desire as a Cosmic Virus in Shakespeare's Macbeth and Hamlet. And so I was basically talking about how desire is seen as a virus in Shakespeare's Macbeth and Hamlet. And to give you guys a little, read through my thesis, I basically argue that Shakespeare uses the notion of desire as a tool to elaborate and illustrate its insidious power. And I explain how desire demonstrates how it begins as just an innocent subconscious impulse. If you leave it unchecked, if you leave desire unchecked, it spirals into a devouring force that consumes everything in its path. And so I argue that in Macbeth and Hamlet, desire becomes an all-consuming plague, virus, which devastates both the protagonists and just the world around them. And so it was chosen, and so I will be presenting it on the 25th of March. And so for those of you guys who are interested, just let me know and I will get back to you guys. But I'm pretty sure you will be able to kind of just watch and be there. It'll be at IKB. And so, yeah, just a good thing that happened to me recently. But yeah, we have already come to the end of our show. We went through some good poems. And so, again, I keep mentioning this every episode, but if you guys do have anything that you want me to go over, read, just feel free to let me know and I will be more than happy to do so. That is the end of our episode today. I hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and I will see you guys again next week. Thank you all for joining. Jess is lit. Bye-bye. Offline, walking the shrine, searching for signs. When you align your spine with the sublime, it's a prime time to remind enough.